I'd like to call this regular council meeting to order. Would you all please rise for the invocation?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Thank you. There is no addendum this evening. There are some announcements. I just want to go back. There's been quite a bit of activity over the last week and a bit, starting with the Chamber of Commerce Black Cat Gala, which took place at the Leisureplex on November the 4th. And there were a number of councillors there, Councillor Butler, Councillor Nutt, Councillor McDermott, and Councillor Passero, as well as me. They had approximately 350 people turned out, which was 1.5 times as many people as they had last year, which had increased over the year before that. The funds raised were being allocated half to the scholarship program that the Chamber of Commerce operates and half to the Embrace Greatness campaign for the new theater at the high school. And I understand that they raised, final numbers aren't in, but it's going to be around $30,000 in total. Madam Clerk, you'd like me to ask you to do the roll call. But so we're interfering with the announcements by doing the roll call. Please proceed.
Thank you, Your Worship. All members of council are present with the exception of Councillor Zanko, who is absent due to a work commitment.
Thank you. I promise that we, Madam Clerk, that we will, Acting Clerk, that we will stick with the agenda from here on. The next item that I wanted to mention was Arid Group held its 40th anniversary, Arid Group Homes, in Thorold on the following evening, November the 5th. They have three homes that they operate, plus a women's home. It's significant for us because one of those homes has been operating in Fortery for a number of years, and it's Arid stands for Addiction Recovery and Dignity. It served literally hundreds of individuals. We heard a couple of testimonials that evening, and the work that they do really does have an impact on human lives. The following day, there were a number of Remembrance Day ceremonies in Ridgeway and in Fort Erie, and both of them were very well attended. Councillors McDermott and Passero were with me at the ceremony at Mather Arch. And Councillor Lubertz did the ceremony in Stevensville. And Councillor Nutt was at a special ceremony that took place that day to commemorate a British soldier who died on the way to the Battle of Ridgeway. And perhaps you want to comment?
Certainly. So there was an unknown soldier that was taken in by the St. John's Church, and they had entombed the soldier when he passed away. They previously did not know his name, and through some research, they've found out his surname, and by the generosity of Kirkpatrick Monuments, they were able to get a headstone erected on his site. It was an excellent display with a full color guard that Hamilton came down the and did a three volley salute, and Mickey Kiss from the local air cadets was able to place a remembrance wreath on the gravesite during that ceremony. It was very well attended, very well done.
Thank you. And also on that same day, before I get there, it's significant. This Remembrance Day to me was significant because this is the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Ridgeway, and that preceded Confederation by a year. And there's an issue as to whether or not those soldiers who lost their lives at the Battle of Ridgeway or as a result of the wounds that they received there should be recognized as Canadian military casualties. I think that they should be, and there are many people who believe that they should be. So this was the 150th anniversary of that. And perhaps next year or in the not too distant future, when we commemorate those individuals who have lost their lives in the service of Canada, the names of those nine individuals, all Canadians, all young men from the Toronto area, will be recognized as well. Earlier that day, All Saints Anglican Church in Ridgeway celebrated its 90th anniversary, and Kathy and I, my wife and I, were able to attend that. Then during the week, on November the 10th, as did a number of other schools, Ridgeway Crystal Beach held a Remembrance Day assembly, and they had Corporal Blair Hampel attend and speak to the students. Corporal Hampel is a graduate of Ridgeway Crystal Beach High School and graduated, I believe he said, around 2004 or 5. So his words and comments were quite meaningful to the students because he's approximately their age as opposed to the old guys that would get up and speak and talk about the war. But he gave a very good presentation. He's very articulate. He's with the Canadian military at Base Trenton and is involved with air traffic control. The following day, Friday, November the 11th, I and Councillor Luberts were at the Remembrance Day service at the Ridgeway Cenotaph, and that again was all, as is always, it was very well attended. Large number of students also, and I know a number of the elementary schools also had students doing ceremonies at their schools. St. George's Elementary School had a choir that sang at Ridgeway, and we've had some recent problem with respect to a communications tower that was erected in the cemetery in Ridgeway with a flag which wasn't the proper sizing. Well, I can assure you all now that it's the proper sized flag. It's about as big as a football field. It was blowing in the wind. It was certainly a sight to behold, and I had a number of people speak to me about that, and somebody specifically wanted me to mention that flag. I don't know precisely who the company is that is responsible for that, but I do know that Rick Brady and Matt Kernahan did a very good job in ensuring that the original flag, which was undersized and was wrapped around the pole, was taken down so that this new flag could be put up. Mr. Brady, do you have any comment on who it is that actually is responsible for that communications tower?
I believe that is a, and it sounds only so appropriate when I say the name, Wind Mobile. And yes, the flag certainly is very prominent in a very prominent location.
It was. And then finally, in Fort Erie at the branch cenotaph there, Councillors Zanko and Passero were in attendance. And Councillor Passero, you've provided us with three photographs, and perhaps you can make comment on those.
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp, and I offer these comments on behalf of Councillor Zanko as well, who was supposed to speak that day but was still under the weather and had no voice, so I did the speaking. And I just want to thank Councillor Zanko for giving me her cold and then running off to Chicago before I could thank her in person tonight. On Friday service, remarkably well attended. I want to thank all of the folks at Branch 71. And these three photos are compliments of Norm Sizzler, so I thank him for providing them to me. This was a moment that not very many people got to witness, as it happened at the very, very end of the luncheon that followed the service. And these are students from Our Lady of Victory School that were present for the 11 a.m. service. The branch was kind enough to invite them in for a meal and refreshments and hot chocolate before they headed back down Central Avenue to the school. And this moment occurred when each of those 20 or 25 students took the opportunity to say thank you and shake hands with Bird Sizzler, a 101-year-old veteran. So a touching moment, happy that his son Norm captured that through photographs, and pleased that he allowed me to share that with everyone tonight. So a great moment, and to me, what Remembrance Day is all about, this is not just one generation to another. There are a few generations in between in this photograph, but you know, lest we forget, these students certainly will never forget. So thank you, Mayor DeCamp.
Thank you, Councillor Passero. And then finally, I just wanted to comment on the great success that the 12th Annual Red Ribbon Art Exhibition and Sale was Saturday night over here at the Leisureplex. There was quite a crowd, particularly around 7:30 to 8:30. I don't think I've ever seen a crowd as large. There were some new artists that were exhibiting their work. Some of the more prominent artists in town also had their artwork there. Councillor Lubertz was there, and I'm pleased to say that on a financial basis, he assisted that event become a great success, because I think he walked out of there with I don't know how many pieces of art. And since they're all local artists, you now will have a home adorned with fine 40 local art. So you're to be congratulated as well. Those are the announcements that I have. With respect to disclosures of pecuniary interest, are there any? Councillor Butler.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Consent agenda number 9.2B, as I provide advice with the entities who will be receiving the solar panels.
Okay. So we will pull that out of the consent agenda package when we get there. That's Solar Power Network. Any others? I have a conflict with respect to bylaw 121 for 2016, since Mr. Perez-Ader is a client of our law firm. And when we get to that, I'll ask for that to be removed from the bylaw package, and I'll ask Councillor Passero to assume the chair. If there are no others, then that will take us to public meetings. We've got a number of public meetings, starting with the budget meetings, which begin this Wednesday, November the 16th, when we'll be looking at the capital budget and forecast. Second meeting is Wednesday, December the 7th, when we'll be doing the water, wastewater operating budget and user fee analysis. The third budget meeting will take place Wednesday, January the 11th, 2017, when we receive the library and EDTC budgets. Fourth budget meeting on January the 25th, 2017, will deal with the general levy operating budget and assessment analysis. There will be a fifth budget meeting on February the 1st, 2017, if required. All these meetings begin at 6 p.m. in the town hall, in the council chambers, and we will be looking to adopt the capital budget bylaw on December the 5th, 2016, the water and wastewater budget and rates bylaw on January the 18th, and our general levy budget bylaw on February the 27th. We have some further public meetings to announce. There will be a town-initiated zoning bylaw amendment with respect to Crystal Beach infill to reduce the impacts of new development and the historic lot sizes in Crystal Beach. That will take place on Monday, November the 21st at 6 p.m. in the council chambers. There will be an information report available to the public on our website on November the 16th, 2016. We also have a public meeting with respect to a draft plan of subdivision revision. This is with respect to the subdivision. Mr. Brady, where is that subdivision? Is it King Street? This is the one that's by the old County Fair Mall? Yes, and that will...
Yes, it is.
You'll be familiar with some of the townhouses that were erected there some time ago. That public meeting takes place December 5th, 2016 at 6 p.m. in the council chambers. And again, the information report for that will be available November the 30th. On the town's website. We have a public meeting for the town-initiated amendment to the official plan and zoning bylaw regarding downtown residential parking strategy. It takes place December the 5th at the town in the town hall council chambers. And again, the report will be available Wednesday, November the 30th. That's going to be a busy night, because we also have a draft plan of subdivision public meeting with respect to an official plan amendment and zoning bylaw amendment for Fortery Hills, more commonly known as the Rio Vista Golf Course. And that is Monday, December the 5th, 6 p.m. in the council chambers. A report, information report will be available November the 30th on our website. Final public meeting that I wish to announce is with respect to a draft plan of condominium revision by John Kendall. This is with respect to a subdivision that is behind to the east of Prospect Road, to the south of Dominion Road. That will take place Monday, December the 5th, here in the council chambers at 6 p.m. And the information report, again, available on our website, November 30th, 2016. Good evening, Councillor Annunziata. It's time for the regional councillor's report.
Good evening, Your Mayor. Members of council, members in the gallery. First off, I want to start with some priority issues that I know that's been a priority for this council, and that's municipal transit. So a report did come out from Dillon Consulting. I passed it on to Carla Stout, and hopefully she passed it on to members of council. Just for the public, we will be holding some public consultation meetings, and I want to make sure that we get as much input as possible with respect to going forward with a plan that that takes into consideration Fort Erie as far as connectivity goes. So the Fort Erie public meeting, and it's for Niagara Falls, Fort Erie, Niagara Lake. It's Wednesday, November 30th, 7 to 9 p.m., and it's at the McBain Community Center, rooms D and E. So again, it's Wednesday, November 30th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at the McBain Center in Niagara Falls, and they're looking for feedback, any kind of message that you can send forward to the working group. And again, it's a message that we want to send to our three transit providers, St. Catharines, Niagara Falls, and Welland, and how does Fort Erie fit within that? I know Carla Stout has been working very, very hard over the past few years trying to implement the plan that's going to be effective for Fort Erie. So it's a great opportunity to make sure that our voices are heard. This past couple of weeks at the region, we've been wrapped up in budget deliberations as well, and we're going over capital and operating. This past week at council, we did ratify the waste management budget, and it was ratified by council with a decrease of 1.2%. So we came in with less than what council guidance was, which was 1%, we came in with actually a decrease of 1.2%. That's a 1.2% decrease while still investing over $500,000, $500,000 into the Bridge Street infrastructure. So good work with waste management, and a special thank you to Catherine Habermill, who's been very, very receptive and very responsive to any concerns that I've had. And as you know, garbage collection is one of those hot button issues that regional councillors tend to get a lot of questions about. So I passed them on to Catherine, and she's very, very responsive. So I just want to give a shout out to Catherine Habermill at the region. As well, we did preliminary ratify our water and wastewater budget. Again, it came in under guidance, 1%, and we're at 0.8% increase. Now, again, it's going to be at the discretion of council whether or not to tap into our reserves in order to bring that at a zero budget or maybe bring in even more savings. But again, as we go forward in the budget process, I'll make sure I keep this council apprised of where we're at in the regional budget. We know that it does impact town budget as well as you're going through your budget deliberations. We did also ratify a recommendation with respect to the SWIFT Broadband Internet Initiative. Now, as you know, it's a tri-party funding agreement between the federal government, the provincial government, and the regional government to make sure that high-speed internet, fiber optic networking is fully available to all the rural municipalities. This is the Southwestern initiative to make sure that all those hard-to-reach spots, and I know we have a lot of challenges along the parkway, certainly in rural areas like Stevensville and Ridgeway, that don't necessarily have the highest speed internet connectivity. As we go forward, we're hoping to make the investments at the regional level to expedite the process. As the work schedule looks right now, it looks like construction and deployment of SWIFT will occur sometime in December 2017. So again, we're working very, very hard to make sure that high-speed internet is available for everyone throughout Ontario, and certainly that's going to be a huge impact, have a huge impact on the small business and businesses that operate here in the town of Fort Erie. Something that this council has been following with great observation, and I know Councillor Lubritz has been a strong proponent to the waterfront initiative. I'm happy to report that at our last Planning and Development Committee, the town of Fort Erie was the recipient of $850,000 to go towards the Bay Beach Master Plan. So huge congratulations to town staff for putting that plan together. Huge congratulations to regional staff in planning and development that really had the foresight to understand that as a municipality surrounded by water, it only makes sense that we make those investments. Huge thank you to my colleagues around the regional horseshoe for believing in Fort Erie and investing in Fort Erie. And again, we were only one of two recipients. The other being the city of St. Catharines. So St. Catharines receives $150,000, and the town of Fort Erie receives $850,000. So it's $1 million fund. As we go forward, we're hoping to keep that $1 million in the budget year after year after year to go forward with some waterfront initiatives. And certainly being surrounded by water, I'm sure the town of Fort Erie, there's going to be a great opportunity to tap into that. I look at Councillor McDermott for a possible, in the works, Cold Ox property. There's a lot of initiatives that we can undertake once master plans are created, and we can tap into that waterfront enhancement funding. I'll leave it up to questions or concerns from council, but I'll finish off with this. As we're going through the budget cycle right now, there's a lot of capital projects on the list right now. If there is anything that individual councillors feel that cannot hold off one budget cycle, and I'll use the example of Dominion Road. This was a project, a Capital Works project, that wasn't scheduled to begin until 2019, 2020. Through the hard work of Mayor Redekop and myself, we were actually able to expedite that process, and we're just about to award the tender on the Dominion Road project. We'll be starting construction in the early part of 2017. So there are some Capital Works projects in Stevensville, Eagle Street at the corner of Netherby and Sodom Road. There's some Capital Works projects with Stevensville Bridge. There's some Capital Works projects throughout the town of Fort Erie that are on the Capital Works project list, whether it be 2017, 18, 19, 20. But again, sometimes the people in the bureaucracy don't quite understand that some of these projects can't wait 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. So by all means, please bring those concerns forward. And if there's an opportunity to expedite anything, we'll do our best to do it through Public Works.
Thank you, Councillor Nunziata. How about Bowen Road? That's
Bowen Road is on the Capital Works project.
I know, they hear it from me, but they might as well hear it from you as well. Just a couple of comments. Number one, with respect to the intermunicipal transit report to the region, there was a presentation which I have circulated to members of council and our staff here. My only disappointment, well, not my only disappointment, but my greatest disappointment is that over the next 4 to 7 years, there's no anticipated increase in the intermunicipal aspect of transit between Niagara Falls and Fort Erie. Some contemplation of potential connection between Crystal Beach and or the west end of Fort Erie and Port Colborne, which is good, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done, particularly in view of the fact that our council here in Fort Erie is being asked to and undoubtedly will support some significant expansion in our intramunicipal transit to parts of the community that we don't already have. And I know you're on side with that, but that was one thing. The other thing is, there's an old saying about counting your chickens before they hatch, and I know that the waterfront report has gotten through the staff, and I know it's gotten through the planning committee, but it does have regional council Thursday night. So I think that you're correct. I think that we'll get there, and I certainly want to extend to our staff and the EDTC and Doan Raymond, who put together a very compelling and virtually undeniable request. So hopefully that will come to fruition, because there's some fantastic work that can be done at Bay Beach. And I want to thank you for your support on that. I know you were lobbying very hard on that. Any members of council have any questions or comments?
I do.
Please, that's why I asked.
Thank you.
And then Councillor Passero.
I'll scratch off the waterfront comment, because I was just going to ask what the final step was, but you answered it, which is approval through the regional council. Just in regards to the transit meeting, because when I read the notice, it only spoke specifically to intermunicipal transit. So that, I'm assuming, is what the focus of the discussion will be between Niagara Falls and Fort Erie at the McBain Center meeting.
Yeah, so to your point, we've been talking about this issue around this council chamber for a long time with respect to the report that's coming forward from Dillon Consulting. They're in the final stretches of that report. So they're seeking public comment right now. I'm sure the town, with the consent of this council, will put forward their best ideas and best response. And Dillon Consulting will come back probably in the new year with more details about the plan and costing. Costing the plan out.
Thank you very much. That's all I had.
Thank you. Councilor Passero.
Technical issues.
Did you break that?
I might have.
You can always
Whoever
slide
sat
over.
In my chair last.
Can always slide
through
over
you to our regional councilor, Mr. Nunziata. Regarding infrastructure, and I know that the road is perfectly paved, so I cannot foresee us digging it back up again, but Gilmore Road between Dunlop Street and Thompson Road is like riding a roller coaster. And I don't know what exactly happened when the road was redone, if things settled before it was paved, but anybody who's driven on that stretch of Gilmore Road or been behind either a school bus, a dump truck, or I hear it from the firefighters all the time, fire trucks actually go onto the opposite side of the road if there's no oncoming traffic because the road is that wavy. So I just put that in your ear. If there are any opportunities coming up whatsoever where there's a situation where we can either tie that into another project without having to redig everything up or resurface it. But that section of Gilmore Road is absolutely brutal. Something wasn't done properly when it was done, hoping we can right that wrong at some point in the future.
I'll certainly bring that forward to Public Works, and it is on the work schedule, road rehab, Gilmore Road between Thompson and Concession Road. It's a budgeted item for 2021 and 2023. Roughly $4 million. So again, considering the condition of the road, if it reaches a state of disrepair that rivals something like Dominion Road, there's a strong opportunity to get public staff, public works down there and reassess the timeline. I'll be happy to bring that forward, Councillor.
Okay.
That
Thank
was,
you.
Mr. Cook is familiar with that. That apparently was poor compaction between the laterals from the sewer.
I remember something wasn't done properly, and it shows. It definitely shows.
It's either very exciting or dangerous, depending on what your perspective is. Anything further, Councillor Passero?
No.
Any other councillors? Thank you very much, Councillor Nunziata. That then takes us to presentations and delegations, I believe, Madam Acting Clerk. Thank you. So this evening, we have the distinct pleasure to be able to recognize an individual who's been, hardly see you, Mary, who's been really a vibrant and vital part of our community for many, many decades. And people in Fort Erie know Mary Hesser as a mother, a grandmother, a teacher, a friend, a confidant, a volunteer with many, many community organizations, and a volunteer with many town committees over the years. She is a devoted Toronto Blue Jays fan, and even through the darkest years between 1993 and 2015, she was a steadfast Blue Jay fan, so you're to be given credit even for that. I have known Mary for probably 50 years, and she has twin granddaughters. There were times when she thought they were triplets because every time Kristen and Aaron would show up at her door, there was a third little girl who eventually was adopted. I believe you're her adopted grandmother, and that's my oldest daughter, Lindsay. So I want to thank you for taking good care of her on many, many occasions. Mary first joined the Fort Erie Cemetery Advisory Committee, filling a vacancy in July of 1990, and has served on that committee continuously since, and will serve on that committee until the end of November this year, at which time she will have served on the Cemetery Advisory Committee for a total of 26 years, 8 months, and 2 weeks. She is also served on the Fort Erie Public Library Board since December 2nd, 1991, continuously. And when she finishes her term at the end of November of this year, she will have served on that committee for 25 years and 2 months. Those hours and hours of service haven't always been easy. They've been, I know, terribly gratifying, and on occasion they've been joyful, and they've allowed you to have a tremendous impact on our community because the library serves people from all ages, young children who are just beginning to read to the elderly who have very few other opportunities to associate with others and obtain information except through our library system. So we wish to recognize you, Mary, for all of those years of dedicated, selfless, thoughtful, and invaluable service to the town of Fort Erie and our residents who are your friends and your neighbors and your family. So, Councillor McDermott, I wonder if you would assist me. Councillor McDermott is our council representative to the library board. We'd like to make a presentation to you, Mary. Raise money for the Crystal Ridge Library branch. It has a state of need for people to raise money, and there was a small group of about 8 of us. Mm-hmm. And that included, quite coincidentally, Cato, who will be referring to. Mary, the Municipal Council of the Town of Fort Erie, on behalf of the residents, hereby recognizes and congratulates you, longstanding citizen appointee. Public Library Board, and for your contributions to making our
someone else have this wonderful opportunity.
So that takes us to the second delegation, which is Lori Elliott Leach, who is a coordinator of the Safety at Home and Snow Buddies, and Patricia Regier, okay, who is the director of Collaborative Partnerships and Education Community Support Services of Niagara. Good evening, ladies. May have to readjust that microphone.
Good evening, Mayor Redekop and members of Council. Thank you very much for this opportunity to speak with you this evening. Lori and I are happy to be here to talk about the Snow and Leaf Buddies program. We know that you received a full Community Support Services of Niagara presentation a couple weeks ago, so we're focusing more on this one particular program. So as you already know, Community Support Services of Niagara, or CSSN, is a local not-for-profit charitable organization which serves Fort Erie with a variety of programs. And we do have an aging population, so all of these programs do make a big difference for people to continue to live in their own homes. We have transportation here in Fort Erie, volunteer visiting, phone chat, homemaking, home maintenance repair, and safety at home. Safety at home focuses on the home environment to help prevent slips and falls and help people stay healthy, safe, and strong and independent in their homes. Leaf and Snow Buddies is part of that program. So anyone can call anywhere from across the whole Niagara region and all the communities of Fort Erie to receive information, to volunteer, or sign up for any of our programs. So the reason why this program started is because every 10 minutes, at least one senior visits an emergency department due to a fall across Ontario. And every 30 minutes, a senior is admitted into the hospital system because of an injury from that, from those falls. So it doesn't include all of the near misses at home, and we certainly want to prevent a lot of those falls. It does cost the healthcare system a lot of money, and back in 2009 when this program started, Niagara was the highest number of emergency department visits due to a fall for older adults at that time. So why we're here today is to connect older adults with a Snow and Leaf Buddy volunteer so that people can stay healthy, safe, and strong and independent and stay living where they want to live. This is a typical profile of one of our clients. An older adult may have a heart condition. Adult children live farther away. And income is limited. So sometimes people are making a choice or decision between groceries, medical bills, and snow removal is very costly. And people can feel trapped in the winter when they can't get out of their homes to go to the groceries, or in particular for services to come to them, even for a 911 call to be able to get into the driveway. Snow removal is very important.
The Snow and Leaf Buddy program will match our elderly clients with volunteers to help remove their snow and rake their leaves. This service helps prevent slips and falls, and an orientation is provided to all of our volunteers. Snow Buddies has been running for 7 years so far. It began in September of 2009. As Tricia said, it is part of our Safety at Home program, fall prevention. We have several partnerships with many town halls and city halls, and they have been quite supportive with the program. One of the ways we've had some support is most of the city and town halls have provided toques, and they will have the logo, depending on what town hall. This one is Fort Erie, and we give all of those out to our volunteers when they sign up and when they come to the orientation. City and town halls have also been very supportive by facilitating media coverage, radio, getting newspaper reporters out to run some stories on the need for the volunteers. In 2011, we were recognized nationally with the National Ambassador Safe Communities Award, which was very surprising and very welcoming. The Snow Buddy program took off very, very quickly in 2009. It kind of jumped up. We kind of leveled off between 2012 and 2014. And in that time period, we had a lot of support from town halls and city halls. Our volunteer has declined in the last couple of years. This year it says we have 25 Snow Buddies so far. That's actually gone up to 33 since we made this presentation, so we hope that's going to continue to grow in the next couple of months. This is kind of a snapshot of, this is how I match my Snow Buddies. The green dots are all of the clients, the purple dots are the volunteers. As you can see, there are way more clients needing the service than the volunteers. This would be the Fort Erie area. I have approximately 15 clients in the Fort Erie area, and I have no volunteers whatsoever in this area to help these seniors out. I do draw from the high schools to get my volunteers. Why is volunteering important? Volunteering makes a difference, specifically in the lives of the person receiving the service and their families. It certainly helps out your neighbor. The volunteers can add this to their resumes as volunteer experience. They can develop communication skills in having to communicate with their senior buddy. And of course, for students, they can get their community service hours that they need to graduate. And this program is supported by both the public and the Catholic board. We do have their support and they help promote the program. I do go into the high schools to do recruitment to try and get the students to come out.
What we're doing as well is taking the approach, because we have more people needing the service than we have volunteers sometimes, we're also an ambassador for Random Acts of Kindness. And if everyone would just help their neighbors, we wouldn't even need services like this. But the reality is that we do need the service, so we really want to promote communities of caring neighborhoods. And that's one way we can, even if people don't sign up, if they can hopefully help their neighbors.
What we're asking of you this evening is to sign up yourselves to be a Leaf or Snow Buddy. You do not have to be a student to do it. Anybody can volunteer, and we welcome any volunteers. Help to promote the need for volunteers. If you know somebody who is looking for volunteer hours or they just want to help out in the community, it is a great way to help out in your community. And just basically encourage helping your neighbor. I mean, even if people aren't part of the Snow Buddy program, as Tricia said, we're ambassadors to help your neighbor. Just get out there and help. We are on the web. Anybody can go to our website and print off applications, the student application or an application for seniors, and it can get sent in to us. We also are on Facebook and on Twitter as well, and we make posts on those sites. If there's a snowstorm coming or anything like that, we'll go on and we'll put a tweet or a post, you know, that if there's some bad weather coming, get out there, help your neighbor, that kind of thing. That's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. So is this early in the year for volunteers? Do you expect you're going to get some from Fort Erie? Or?
Yes. I whether I get them from Fort Erie, I don't know. It's getting on. I've probably gotten about 10 to 12 new ones so far in other parts of the region. But yes, I can get volunteers probably until January or February. I'll keep getting the volunteers. I've never had a big draw in Fort Erie. I have had some in the past in Fort Erie. I've never had a lot in Fort Erie.
Any members of council have any questions? Councilor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp. How do you go about doing the matches? Is it proximity to the volunteer and the person
it's,
who's
yeah,
need,
geographic.
Or do you have geographic?
Yes, so I have that map you saw, and when I get an application from a student and then I have a senior, I plunk them into the map, and then I see who's close by.
So definitely not a first signed up, first
no,
taken
it's not first
as far
come,
as
first
the
serve.
People who need the help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will volunteer to be a part of the program this year. So I'm
thank
very
you so
fortunate
much.
That my grandfather has a very long driveway that we contract out. So I usually have some arm and leg strength left after doing his walkway. So I will get in touch with you and volunteer and see
so
what
much.
We can do to round up some others as well.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Any other councillors? Thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you so much.
Hopefully you will get some more volunteers. You've got a running start now.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Then our final delegation is Stephen Passero and Barbara Horning with respect to an update for the Santa Claus Parade. Good evening.
Mayor Redekop and members of council, I think most of you know me, but for those who don't, my name is Barb Horning, and I am co-elf, a.k.a. co-chair, to the 44th annual Fort Erie Santa Claus Parade with my co-elf, Carol.
Why are you hiding behind me?
It's because I'm short, like, you know, I get it, I know. So just a reminder, I know some of you are actually going to be in this year's parade, and for those who aren't, I'm hoping we will see a lot of you along the parade route with your friends and family. It's a great day. It's Saturday, November the 26th, and it starts at 12 o'clock. There's a small change to the route this year. Once it leaves the racetrack on heading north on Concession, it usually turns up east up Catherine, but there is construction this year, so it will be going east up Henrietta Street and continuing on up to Central Avenue, turning north like it usually does and ending up in the historic Bridgeburg district of Jarvis and Cloak. So just that small change. So hopefully if you have any neighbors or you are in that area and you see any lawn chairs, please remind them that the parade's not going through the construction. A few notes of parade day. We always try and have some little events going on or keep the entertainment going, and I was lucky enough to get a call from Chris Kringle himself, and he told me he really doesn't like emails. He really likes the children to write letters. So we have put out a call to Canada Post, and they have agreed to walk the parade route and collect letters for Santa himself. The Fort Erie Kinsmen will also be out that day collecting toys for their Kinsmen Gift of Love. The firefighters will be out along the parade route collecting food and non-perishable food and food items, and that will be distributed throughout and two different food banks in the area. The Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee has organized a wheelchair viewing area at Central Fire Station, so if you do know anyone that has a hard time getting out, has a wheelchair, please take them down there. We've put aside, they've worked hard to put aside an area for them. Finally, or for me, there is an elf party at 209 Jarvis Street, sponsored by Regional Limousine. It's from 12 to 4. There's going to be hot chocolate, there's a photo booth, crafts, and after the parade, Santa will be there for pictures.
Thank you, Barb. One of the highlights of the parade every year is always many of the local and regional bands that we're privileged to bring to Fort Erie. This year is no exception, and we're especially thrilled to be able to welcome Royal Canadian Legion Branch 163 Pipes and Drums out of Hamilton. And Branch 71 here in Fort Erie is excited to be their host for the afternoon. They'll be walking in the parade routes together. So we welcome them, as well as about 8 or 9 other bands as well, some familiar favorites and some new ones. We do still need a few volunteers. We're hosting a volunteer night next Tuesday, November 22nd, 6:30 p.m. at the Fort Erie Public Library. So please try to get in touch with either Barb or myself, or just show up that evening, pizza and refreshments. And just to tag on to what Barb said about the letters to Santa, we're also very excited to be offering the Fort Erie Public Library, through the support of their board and their staff, as an entertainment and activity hub the morning of the parade. And one of the activities they will be doing is encouraging the kids and helping them to write their letters to Santa, so when that parade activity wraps up, they can go right outside and actually hand them to the fine folks at Canada Post. The last thing I'll mention is a very quick thank you to Town Hall and Town Staff. I don't think that there is any department that we don't communicate with or through in order to facilitate this event, and we're always very appreciative of the support that we get. I want to thank the folks at the racetrack for allowing us to utilize their site again. It's the perfect marshalling and registration area. There aren't too many sites in town that offer us that amount of paved parking area and are very generous with their time to open up the facilities for us as well, for washrooms, heated areas, things of those nature. To the participants, thank you. To the volunteers, thank you. And to the spectators, please come out. Many groups work long, long hours, start very, very early, some even as early as the summertime, to start getting their floats together. So please come out and cheer them along. And my last thank you is to my co-elf, Barb, who tolerates me and has now for 4 years since we assumed function of the parade. And it's a good thing her back is to the Cogeco cameras, because she's rolling her eyes. But we get along very well. It's a good partnership, and I definitely could not do this without her, and we definitely could not do this without many, many people involved. So we're looking forward to it. It's a privilege and a thrill for us to be able to take the reins, but it's definitely more than us that it takes to welcome Santa to Fort Erie in style, and we'll do it once again Saturday, November 26th, 12 p.m. Thank you for your time.
Thank you to both of you and to all of the volunteers that participate with you. Certainly is the event that kicks off the Christmas spirit in Fort Erie. I don't know if any counselors had any questions. No? We're going to be going over the Central Avenue Bridge, whether it's officially open or not, correct?
We're going to break down
there. We'll dismantle the light. It'll be one-way traffic. One-way traffic.
It will be done.
It'll be done. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. So, unfortunately, now we have to get down to business. And that takes us to the consent agenda. We will take out item 9.2B and deal with it separately. Are there any other items that anyone wishes removed from the consent agenda? Councillor Lubertz and then Councillor Butler.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I think all of us have been receiving numerous emails today over the Niagara Solar Power Company Limited, item D. I'd like to have that removed so we could deal with that separately as well.
Sure. And Councillor Butler.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. If we can have item 9.2.3B removed from the consent agenda and dealt with separately, that would be great too.
Do that again,
9.2.3B.
Okay, so that would be the minutes of the Street Naming and Wayfinding Committee, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right, then, Councillor Lubertz, you have the resolution with respect to the consent agenda. So would you like to read that with the exception of items 9.2b and D and 9.3b? 9.2b, 9.2d, and 9.3b.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott, the Council approves the consent agenda items as recommended, save and except for items 9.2b and 9.2d and 9.3b.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to any of the items that remain in the package? I just had a comment with respect to the minutes of the EAC committee. It's 9.3E. There was a reference by EAC to the fact that part of this environmental conservation overlay involved a wildlife corridor. And that wasn't really mentioned the other night when we dealt with this and removed that portion or a portion of the EC overlay from the property. The other question that I did have, though, had to do with item 9.3F, which was the museum minutes, and no, sorry, it's active transportation, and it had to do with the MTO. Yes, there was an issue that was discussed that, and Councillor Becerra, you had made comment with respect to something that involved the MTO. Did that get resolved?
Yes, it did, Your Worship, favorably, thanks to the efforts of our Director of Infrastructure as well as Mr. Stojanovic.
Okay, perfect. Are there any other questions with respect to the items in the consent agenda? Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just going to the EAC minutes, I think that there was something mentioned in the report last week that the reason EAC didn't want to remove the EC overlay was because of its closeness and because it was connected to the Point Avenue, something to do with the Point Avenue protection zone.
Yeah, I think I think the focus was with respect to environmental protection and the significance of that, but I don't recall there being specific reference to wildlife habitat.
Just wonder,
maybe I missed that.
But what I'm wondering is, is there a comment to be made by yourself, or are you bringing that up just
for an observation?
All right. Okay. Thank
you. Just an observation. If there are no other questions or comments, I'll call the question with respect to the consent agenda as amended. All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. Councillor Lubberts, would you like to move item 9.2B then, please?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott. The Council approves the consent agenda item 9.2B.
That is with respect to the solar power network request. Are there any questions or comments on that? Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Going over this, and I think I need to ask some questions over this one because we're going to be dealing with another one separately as well. But looking at this here and looking at the emails that I received, particularly the email that was sent by Mr. Brady, I'm just wondering who in the email from Mr. Brady that I received today, he gives some reasons why he doesn't want to support the other one.
All right, let's deal with this one.
But this one here, who's the licensing body for this one here?
Mr. Brady, we're talking now about the application by Solar Power Network.
The Solar Power Network, yeah. Who's the licensing body for this solar system?
It's an agency which was set up by the province of Ontario.
Councillor Lubberts?
And in the email also it says that the problem that we're having is we have no jurisdiction. Or
that in the email with respect to this resolution?
Yes.
Or the one that you're contemplating?
So do we have do we have any jurisdiction over this year application?
Mr. Brady.
The town of Fort Erie has jurisdiction over the building that this application is being built upon. So the building itself is subject to all of our zoning standards, setbacks, height, etc. And we also have jurisdiction in that a roof-mounted a solar facility requires a building permit. So we both have zoning control through the building that exists that this is being put upon, and we have processes involved in that case, and we also have building permit control.
Councillor Lubberts.
Thank you very much. And what's the zoning for this building? How is this building zoned?
They're both industrial, I presume.
They're both industrial? All right. And is there any other zoning that allows for solar panels to be mounted?
Mr.
Brady?
We have no zoning in the town of Fort Erie that is permissive for solar panels. The issue is that the province of Ontario does not recognize the Planning Act and the zoning jurisdiction when it comes to solar panels. However, we do for the building that it's being put upon.
So we know that we can have solar panels on a residential home as well. Is that correct?
Brady, I presume that's correct, Mr. Brady?
That's correct.
And we can have solar panels on commercial property?
Correct. And industrial property.
That's
and
correct.
Institutional property. So zoning doesn't apply to this either?
Pardon?
To this year application, zoning doesn't apply.
Well,
we don't have any control over it because it's for you can put solar panels on any building in this town.
Mr. Brady just indicated that it does apply and indicated that there were some provisions that do apply. Mr. Brady, did I misunderstand what you said?
Let me rephrase what I've said. There are no zoning requirements for solar panels, whether they be ground-mounted or whether they be on a building. However, there are zoning implications for the buildings at which these are put upon. So therefore, there are setbacks for the industrial lands, there are for the commercial, for the residential, there are heights. All of those are reflective in the zoning when you're dealing with a solar panel which is being put on a building. When you're dealing with a solar panel that's being ground-mounted, there are absolutely no controls at all that the municipality has within its jurisdiction in terms of zoning or building permits.
Yes, I understand that, but we have an existing building. So the setbacks on the existing building aren't changed because they put solar panels on them. It's the same setback as if you didn't have solar panels. Is that correct?
Well, I'm hearing that there's at least a setback as opposed to ground installation where there would be no ability to enforce a setback. Am I following this correctly, Mr. Brady?
You're correct, sir.
Yes, I understand that, but the setback that was laid on these buildings was put on these buildings because of because of the rules that we have and the fact that we have jurisdiction over that, and we can apply those rules to the developer.
Right.
But it has nothing to do with the solar panel.
Well, I think Mr.
Brady,
being
installed on it.
I think Mr. Brady indicated, and I may be wrong on this, is it necessary for the applicant in this particular matter to obtain a building permit from the municipality?
Yes, it is.
Because it's putting these panels onto a building, which we have building controls over. That help?
No, that doesn't help. I understand that they need to put a building, they need a building permit because they're putting the panels on a building.
Right, but they don't need a building.
The setback requirements for the building were already set long before the solar panels came into place. So I don't understand where they're saying that we have control over setback if you want to put solar panels on your roof. The setbacks were already put in place before the solar panels were put there.
I think
same thing with site plan. There was nothing, probably nothing mentioned in either building's site plan agreement that included solar panels.
I believe it goes like this. In order to qualify for a building permit, you have to comply with certain rules, and that would include whatever the zoning is. Is that correct, Mr. Brady?
All applicable law must be complied with before you get a building permit, and in this particular case, certainly the zoning has to be, and the setbacks that are appropriate, which were set at the time of the building. For example, the solar panels can't overhang this structure.
Does that help?
Yes, thank you very much. And just another question about the public process. In the email from Mr. Brady, he says that we don't have a public process regarding solar panels that are put in the ground.
Yeah, but let's deal.
Do we have a public process for the panels that are going to be installed in these two buildings?
Mr. Brady.
Was there public consultation?
No, there's no public consultation required by the province of Ontario when it comes to putting solar panels, whether they be on a building or ground-mounted.
So in this particular case, there's going to be no public process either.
That's correct. Anything further?
Okay, thank you very much.
Does anyone else have any questions with respect to item 9.2b? Then, if not, I'll call the question. All those in favor of the resolution? Unopposed, that is carried. Councillor Lewis, could you then proceed with resolution for item 9.2d?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redicott. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that Council approves the consent agenda item 9.2d.
That's on the floor for questions or comments. Any questions or comments? Councillor Lewis.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redicott. Just a couple of questions. This application here is under IOES, independently owned or electrical systems. Is that what I'm? Is that what that stands for?
Mr. Brady.
I believe it's Independent Electric System. It's referred to as the IESO.
So this Independent Electric System is no different than the one that we just approved.
Mr. Brady?
Governing body is the same.
The governing body is the province. And so those are the rules and regulations that everybody has to follow. Is that correct?
Mr. Brady?
There are a series of technical and land use regulations which are created by the IESO. However, they do not apply in terms of the Planning Act. They are standalone rules which have been made up by the province.
Councillor Lewis.
And our current hydro system, we have no jurisdiction over that. That's all controlled by the province as well.
Mr. Brady.
I believe that's correct.
And natural gas, would that be controlled by the province as well?
What would that have to do with this particular resolution?
Well, I'm just trying to make a point that we have utilities in this community that we have no jurisdiction over and we have no control over. And when I read the email is stating that Mr. Brady doesn't want or will not support this application because we have no jurisdiction or we have no say and there's no public process. But we have the same situation with our current hydro, and we have the same situation with natural gas. And I don't understand why it is that we can't support something that we is happening in our town as we stand now.
Well, I suppose part of the predicament that I would have is which part of this are we supporting? The 15%
economic...
Point
of order, Mayor Redekop, I've asked the question of staff. I understand where you're coming from, but I've asked the question of staff, and I would like staff to answer the question.
What's the question? And I'm the chair of the meeting, so what's the question, and I'll direct the
I know you're
question.
The chair of the meeting, Mayor Redekop, but I ask a question through you to our staff, and I expect our staff to answer. I would like an answer from our staff.
What's the question?
And I asked our staff, do we have any jurisdiction over natural gas?
Well, that's not relevant.
That's the same
that doesn't even have anything to do with what we're dealing with.
Mayor Redekop, can I get the answer from our staff? Thank you very much.
No, because it's not relevant. Not relevant to this particular application, which relates to electricity.
Well, I have an email here that's Mr. Brady is telling us that he doesn't have any control or any jurisdiction over independently owned electrical systems.
Correct.
And do we have any control over independently owned natural gas?
Don't have any control over independently
Mr. Brady,
owned telecommunications towers.
Could I get
either,
an answer from
relevant.
Mr. Brady?
No, it's not relevant. Move along. Not relevant. We're dealing with electricity.
Yes.
You've got your answer about electricity. We have no control over that. And the reason that there's a distinction in Mr. Brady's advice to us on the net... on the solar power network as opposed to this one that we're dealing with is that we have some control over the installation of the solar panels when they're on a building. We have no control when they're located elsewhere, and this is the basis of the distinction. This application can proceed, these people can proceed if they can get the approval of the provincial agency regardless of what our position is. We don't have to take any position. We could take a position. We could take no position. It isn't going to matter to the province. We have no ability to manage or control this.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Through you to Mr. Brady. In your email, Mr. Brady, you're saying that there are no Planning Act requirements. In other words, you're talking about your setbacks. But the applicant, from my understanding, with meeting with you, has agreed that they will have setbacks and they will comply with any setbacks that the municipality would like to enforce on them. So, although we don't have the control, they're willing to have their setbacks. And all the town has to do is let them know what those setbacks will be and they will comply.
Mr. Brady?
Through you to Councillor Luberts, the first time that I've been advised that there would be setbacks was the letter that we received this evening, and that in it the Niagara Solar Power Company has advised that they would seek a 30-meter setback. There has been no discussion on that any further. I would also like to point out one other thing. If you look on page 2 of the letter that we received this evening from the Niagara Solar Power Company.
Where, Mr. Brady, might that be found for the benefit of me and other councillors who may not have seen this letter?
It's in your email. I'm sorry.
Well,
it was sent. The letter came in very, very late in the day. And I believe the acting clerk sent it to all of you as an email.
So 4:53 p.m.?
Yes.
And it's from whom?
Niagara Solar Power. Well, the email, it would be from the assistant clerk.
Okay, so I've got it from Carol Schofield at 5:02 p.m.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Your Worship. The other members of council received it directly from Anna Maria Fazzari. Yours bounced back, so I forwarded it on to you.
Okay.
So just to be clear, if any of the staff were to give us something at 5 o'clock on a day of a meeting, we wouldn't be entertaining it. However, you were making some reference to a letter.
You would, yes, it is that letter. And if you look on page 2 of that letter, at the bottom there's two whereases. And I'd like to read them both to you. So while I've already stated beforehand that there are no Planning Act requirements that I can or can be involved in terms of establishing this property, the IESO has set some independent land use restrictions. And let me read. Whereas a part of the application submission, applicants whose project do not meet all the IESO land use restrictions must confirm that the municipality supports an exemption from the rules. Whereas, because the zoning of the lands and adjacent lots, the proposed ground-mounted solar project on Matthews Road is not able to meet the IESO definition of an exemption residential property. So not only does the Planning Act not apply to this particular matter, the rules that the IESO have set up for this particular matter are also not being complied with.
Councillor Lewis, wouldn't it be, anyways, go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. Can you just explain what it is that the IESO is not, where they're not meeting the the restrictions from IESO.
Through you to Councillor Lubberts. I have no idea. There has not been sufficient information provided to me to be able to determine what those are or what restrictions are being applied to on this particular property. I have no idea what ones are or are not being applied to, but I do know that this letter is making it clear that they're not meeting the ISO standards.
Well, Mayor Redekop, the applicants are here in the gallery. Maybe they could.
So here's the problem.
That question?
Here's the problem, Councillor Lubberts. I don't know if the other councillors have read this material. I've not read the material, and there's a fair bit of material from what I can see. There's a number of attachments. And I don't think it's appropriate that we should be asked to deal with something that we haven't even had an opportunity to review. There may be timelines and restrictions for the people that have put this before us. We haven't even had the benefit of staff providing us with any background information. So I'm not in favor of entertaining a delegation with respect to this when there easily could have been a request for a delegation and material provided to us beforehand. But I'm just not prepared, if the majority of council thinks otherwise, I'm quite prepared to live with that, but I'm not prepared as the chair of the meeting to rule that this is something that we should be dealing with other than as recommended by staff. So that's where I think we are. I have 6 attachments to this email.
Thank you. Going forward with more questions, I guess. The town of Fort Erie, in its official plan, states that it supports alternative energy and or renewable energy systems, right? And again, I can read this to you from this letter, and we also have our official plan available to us. In order to provide the Town of Fort Erie's official plan, section 9.3, in order to provide support for improved energy efficiency and air quality, opportunities will be provided for alternate and renewable energy systems in accordance with the Green Energy Act. That is our official plan. Alternate and or renewable energy systems are permitted within Fort Erie, subject to the development and use of alternate and renewable energy systems being in accordance with provincial and federal requirements.
Right, and we've just been told by a resolution attached to the letter that we've received from the proponent that this doesn't comply with IESO regulations. So at the very least, we would have to find out what it doesn't comply with. Wouldn't we?
Exactly, yes.
So we don't have that information.
No.
And I'd want to contemplate that before I would be making any decision other than what's recommended by staff. I think that would be fair, wouldn't it?
Well, it would be fair, but I think that when we got the report on our agenda, there had been a meeting with staff and the applicant, and those things should have been brought out in the report. They were brought out in the report, and now they're being brought to us.
There is no report. There is a letter. Our agenda has a letter from Niagara Solar Power Company Limited requesting us to do a number of things with respect to their application to the IESO, including a request that we consider being a 15% equity partner. But then there's this whole pile of other additional information which, as I said, I've not had an opportunity to review, and I don't know if other counselors have or not. So it's a rather difficult position for us to be in, and not one that I would, I mean, if staff were to do this and expect us to do something, they'd be getting the same response from me. It's not reasonable. If the, for the benefit of proponents, Councillor Lubberts, if this recommendation on our agenda that we receive the application is supported by council, that doesn't preclude the proponent from further meetings with the municipality or further presentation to the council where we've had an opportunity to at least review the information that they're providing. And they can certainly proceed with their application if they comply with regulations.
I don't think that our official plan states that they have to meet some of the requirements that they're having. It's just they have to follow the requirements of the provincial and federal, right? Including appropriate separation from homes and stuff. So there's distances and land use compatibility that they have to comply with. And they've done that. I'm reading an email here, and it says that we have no jurisdiction over that, but that jurisdiction is placed on the applicant through the program. It has separation restrictions on it.
Well, then, Councillor Lewis, I don't know what the statement in this one item that I am looking at that Mr. Brady read out that says that this project is not able to meet the IESO's definition of an exempt residential property, and they're looking for the municipality to provide an exemption. I don't know what that means. It seems that there's something they don't comply with the IESO, but I don't know what that is, and I don't even know if my statement on that is accurate. It may not be. I'm just looking at what page 2 of whatever they've filed. One attachment. So that's the predicament. The predicament is that we're kind of floating around here. We're not exactly on solid ground, I think. However, you have the floor, and if you wanted to do something other than the resolution which is received, then you should proceed.
Yeah, I'd like to make an amendment that we, instead of receiving this, we approve it. I mean, we're approving for other people. We're approving other things that we have no jurisdiction over.
What is it that we would be approving?
Well, we have no jurisdiction over any solar panel systems. The governing body is the province of Ontario.
No, that's not the question. What is it that you want us to approve?
Niagara Solar Power has brought forward for this municipality to accept their project and approve their project to get their priority points. If you read the resolution from prior to this, Niagara or Solar Power Networks, it clearly states in the last that they will not be giving anything from the municipality. All they're getting is the priority points for the program itself.
Okay. So look at the, if you would, just to assist me on this so I know, so that all councillors know what it is you're proposing. If you would look at the letter that's attached to our agenda underneath this item, the three-page letter. The bottom of page 2, there are four things that are being requested, first of which is except for 15% economic interest in the Niagara Solar Power Company Limited. That a request that the town of Fort Erie be a 15% equity partner in this project? Because if it is that what you're asking us to do?
No, I think that they've asked for that there to be removed.
Well, I don't know. Where was that asked for? I haven't seen that, but I'm only asking what your motion is.
Well, what I don't understand here is the fact that late in the day we received some information, right? And there were some emails going back and forth. I received the information when I got home and I read my emails. That information was received to me. This happens to us on a regular basis. We get addendums when I come into a council meeting and an addendum is sitting on my desk.
No, you
don't. Yes, the addendum will be sitting here and there's a change to the agenda.
Well,
and we add it to the agenda. So
no,
for someone to say that, you know, at late in the day you get some new information and now it's irrelevant and you can't use that and you can't rely on that information or do anything with that information, I don't think that's appropriate.
Okay, you've had your say. Councillor Nutt, do you want to speak to the amendment or to the resolution?
Well, I wanted to speak to the resolution.
Anybody want to speak to the amendment? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. I can't support the amendment. Normally, our process is if something's included within a communications package and somebody would like to draw something out of theirs, we refer them under new business. And I think that's what should be done in this situation, but I will refer to his worship for comments there. The reason I suggest that is that allows for a more fulsome discussion. Right now, we're bound by the contents of what we're receiving in the communications package. Secondly, we do come in all the time to see different addendums on our computer monitors. Councillor Lubbers is absolutely correct. The difference is those addendums have to do with a business item appearing on the agenda. This is not a business item appearing on the agenda. This is a piece of correspondence, and if there's a member of council that would like to advance that piece of correspondence, in my opinion, the appropriate time to do that is under new business. That can go in a number of different directions. We can throw caution to the wind, say, yep. We can ask staff for additional information further down the line, or we can say, no, not interested, and we're just going to leave it lie as we've received it. So that's where I'm hoping that this goes. I am not comfortable with having any further discussion that actually leads to a decision on this issue. I just have not had a time to read all of the information. I understand that the proponents are under a time crunch here of November 25th, 2016 to have the application in. I apologize for the following statement, but that's not my problem. My concern is doing what's best for the residents and the municipality, and I want to ensure that we do have something in place to the furthest extent possible that we can ensure that the municipal council and the corporation has our utmost say and due diligence done before we comment further on this matter. There is a big difference between this item and the one that we just approved. And that big difference is that the people who are looking at a building that is going to get rooftop panels have already been looking at that building for a long, long time. And the addition of rooftop panels is not going to make a lot of difference. It's up there, it's mounted, it's not overhung, as Mr. Brady pointed out. Situations like this, where we're looking at turning open space into solar panel farms, much, much different than attaching some panels to a rooftop of a pre-existing structure. So for all those reasons, I just cannot fathom that we're going to take a piece of correspondence and turn it into a request of either town staff at this point in time, or actually act on this. I cannot comprehend that. So I'm hoping that this makes its way into new business. It can follow the appropriate channel at that time. But to me, as far as communication goes, we should be receiving it. And if a member of council would like to pursue it further on behalf of themselves or somebody else, they can do it at that time. Thank you.
So Councillor Passero and members of council, the recommendation from staff was that we receive. There's a motion that we to amend that to accept the request of the applicant, I believe.
I would like to make the amendment that we accept it, but we got some correspondence earlier or late today, which made some changes to exactly what this here resolution is states. And those have to be incorporated into the amendment. Staff received them. And from the emails that I received and from what I was looking at and reading, they were emails that were sent to the applicant, and that's what staff requested them to do. So they made the changes that they needed to make.
Yeah,
so now that they made the changes that they needed to make, now it's like, well, no, you can't bring those changes in.
Tell us what the amendment is, because I don't know what the amendment is. I mean, I think it's proper for you to move to amend the recommendation on the agenda, but please specify what the amendment is that you're proposing.
Well, staff has received emails from and letters from the proponent. In the letter that we received, there is a resolution that they requested that they bring forward, that staff bring forward in their letter.
Is that what you're suggesting that we amend this to?
And I mean, I can't understand why it is that something like that wouldn't have been brought forward as an addendum, because it was the applicant that was corresponding with staff and just doing what the applicant was being told to do and trying to conform with everything that staff wanted, so that when they came to this meeting tonight, that it would be much simplified and that there would be a resolution on the table for us to work with. And now it looks like I'm the only one that received any of this information. And so by the time I got home this afternoon at 4:45, between quarter to five and 5:50, I have to put together all these resolutions that need to be put together. When staff was working with the applicant this afternoon and making and requesting that these changes be made.
So a couple of
things. The applicant did send in a resolution, a new one. And if staff could bring forward that resolution, then that's the resolution that I would like to put on the floor.
All right. So I'm going to declare that out of order, simply because I haven't had a chance to see it. I think there are other councillors that haven't had a chance to see it. Just for clarity, when we have addendums, they're typically something that's approved the week before we have our council meeting, and it's circulated by email. I can't recall an addendum. There may have been one or two where it's come up the day of our council meeting, but most of them are addendums that are items that have come up after the agenda has been sent out, but they're things that relate to something that we're doing. With respect to your motion that we accept a resolution that most of us haven't even read because it came in at 4:53 or 5:02 or whenever we got it, I think that the route that I would suggest, Councillor Lubritz, because even, you know, I don't even know if you've read all the material. You say that you have, so I'll accept that. But I don't think it's appropriate for council to be expected to deliberate on something that we've had very little opportunity to look at. At the very best, I would suggest that if you want, you can raise it under new business. You could perhaps direct or bring a motion that we direct this to staff for a report so that we can at least get some understanding of what it is that Ms. Fazari is asking for, and B, some understanding of what staff's position is and why. Then it's clear. But for us to be voting on a resolution that has come to us this late in the day, I'm not prepared to permit council to do. You can challenge the chair if you wish, and can have council vote on it, but that's my ruling. Did I turn off your mics?
I've been there before.
Thank you, Your Worship.
That was completely unintentional, Councillor Lubbers. it was.
Just wanted to make a comment and perhaps ask a question after the comment that it's unfortunate that this was received by our staff on November 10th, which, you know, was Thursday, Friday was closed. We received this today. And I truly want to say that I do believe in solar farms. And I know that as a business, you're always meeting tight deadlines, and so you have to get this through. I get that. But as the mayor said, I mean, I was in a meeting until about 5:45 at the town here. So your email coming in at 7 minutes before five, I didn't even know, first of all, until right this minute, when Councillor Lubbert said there was an email, that email existed. So for us to make a decision on something that we have basically little time to evaluate isn't fair to us. So my question would be then, if that's the case, and they are obviously under a deadline, seems like a pretty good project to me, is there an opportunity to do something to fast track this?
Yeah, we could, I mean, under new business, we could move, or we could even do it right now, amend receive to direct that this be, that we direct this to staff to provide us with a report. We've got we have a committee meeting next week. I guess, I don't know, Mr. Brady, would you be able to respond to this in a week? Well, 4 days? 3 days?
I've met with the proponents on this once, and we've discussed this a number of times. And my advice to them was quite clear, and that was that they needed to get a consultant to help them in terms of putting forth a planning argument, and I provided them with a number of firms that they should consider. In their correspondence, they now have referred to that they're referring to their planner, but I don't know. I've received nothing more, and my problem with trying to fast track anything in this particular matter is that I'm starting from such a low position. All the reports that are going to you on the 25th are currently completed. They're done. That's the way we deal with our operation, because they'll be going out Wednesday. So they've been signed off, et cetera, et cetera. I don't believe it would be possible to have a report on this kind of nature by the 25th. I also don't think it's reasonable, because I'm still not sure. I have no site plan. I have absolutely nothing that identifies exactly where these panels are being located. I know the property in general, but I don't have anything. And I'm not an expert in these guidelines. The IESO is not an expertise of mine. I don't have that. I don't have anyone on my staff who has that expertise as well. So you're talking about an awful lot of research to bring back a report. And at that point in time, I would assume it would deal with the overall issue of solar, ground-mounted solar, plus the issue associated with ground-mounted solar at this site.
All right. Councillor Butler.
Well, being a business person, I understand the need for deadlines, and it's imperative that once the 25th is come and gone, it's come and gone. So we have to do something to assist I'm going to wait until we get to new business and make some recommendations at that point.
Okay. So, Councillor Nutt, did you want to weigh in? I've ruled that the amendment isn't in order, so we're dealing with the merits of the...
Thanks, Your Worship. Through yourself to Mr. Brady, traveling the Welland several times a month, as I do, when you head down Ridge Road, Welland has a solar farm. They have actually a few solar farms along Highway 140 and Ridge Road. And my request would be that if we can assist these people in meeting their deadline, maybe we could reach out to our Welland colleagues to find out how they place their solar farms adjacent to their industrial park. And they're all ground mounted. So what can we garner from our colleagues in an adjacent municipality that will help us help these people proceed with their farm?
Mr. Brady, did you want to comment on that?
Certainly. Councillor Nutt, you're absolutely correct. The solar farms in Welland, which are on industrial land, which are located very far away from residential homes, and are located in a fashion that seems to work in terms of compatibility, is great. I'm not sure this site would meet any of those standards. I don't know how I can try to fix a site which has virtually none of the characteristics of the site that you just described in Welland.
Well, I suppose, Mr. Brady, that would be the essence of getting a report. The difficulty is the timing of the report, how quickly it can be done, and how much. So, Councillor Passero, and then I'll go back to you, Councillor Luberts.
Thank you, Mayor Decomp. I would really have no issue moving heaven and earth to make this happen if this was a simple rubber stamp of the municipality to get this application in on time. I really would have no issue with that. But they simply wouldn't need us if that was the case. And the reason they need us, if I was following the bouncing ball earlier, is because their site currently not only doesn't meet whatever limited criteria we have in place, if any, but doesn't meet even the criteria of the governing body that has jurisdiction over this project. So we're being asked to completely throw caution to the wind, not only trump everything we may or may not have in place, but also the very limited criteria that the jurisdictional body has in place to say, yes, go for it, we support it, get your application in. I'm not willing to do that. That's a much different scenario than coming to us and saying, look, we've done everything we need to do. We meet all the criteria of X, Y, and Z. All we need you to do is fast track your government process to get us your letter of concurrence. That's not where I understand us to be. And it's for that reason that I'm not really willing to jump through hoops to make this happen. I'm not willing to throw that caution to the wind in this particular circumstance.
Well, we're not there yet. We're still
not
on
there yet.
Receive.
Yeah.
we've heard what you have to say, Councillor Luberts. And then, well, before we go to you, Councillor McDermott, you haven't spoken yet.
Just a couple of things, Your Worship. I agree with Councillor Passero on this as well. My problem is there aren't any rules that we have set here that we need to set in the planning area with regards to these. Secondly, by asking us try to get us to make a decision tonight, we're ruling out a very important portion of our community. And I mean, even Councillor Luberts will attest to the fact that this council is very proactive with regards to being open and transparent, and that includes public consultation, which we haven't had yet. So basically, we're being asked to buy a pig and a poke, because the Ontario government has all the cards. We don't have public consultation. Our planning department doesn't have any rules and regulations presently that with regards to planning on this issue. And I mean, I really appreciate the fact that you have the timelines. I do. But I'm not sure how long you've had these timelines. I don't know if you could have maybe started earlier to meet these timelines. But I don't think it would be a good thing for us to just say yes and bypass public consultation, which we have on almost every type of development. I support what you're doing because I do support alternative energy, and I think this is a good project. The fact of the matter is, the only trouble that I'm seeing with it right now is we need to have some rules in planning, and you're kind of catching us on a real close timeline, which for us is really, it would be irresponsible for us to make that decision tonight.
Okay, so we're not about to participate in a dialogue with the audience. Councillor McDermott, are you finished? Councillor Lubberts, and then we're going to vote on this.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I think we might want to look a little bit more at what we're actually being asked to do when it comes to the independently owned systems and the FIT program that everybody's engaged in. Earlier this evening, we approved, and basically we gave, the municipality didn't approve anything other than it gave the applicant, right, an opportunity to receive priority points under the FIT program. If you read the last of that and the earlier resolution, it is hereby acknowledged. The sole purpose of the resolution is to enable the applicant to receive priority points under the FIT program and may not be used for the purpose of any other form of municipal approval in relation to the application or project or for any other purpose. So all we're doing is giving them the opportunity to get priority points from what I'm reading. So maybe what we can do is postpone this until our next council and committee meeting, right, which at that time staff will have an opportunity to bring the information and the changes that were discussed today between the applicant and staff, and then we can make a better decision and everybody will have all the information in front of them, which I have to agree that would be more important, appropriate. So I'd like to put a motion forward that we postpone this until our next council committee meeting.
Well, I'm pretty sure, Councillor Lubberts, that you can't do that after you've spoken at length on the issue. I think in order to defer or postpone, you can't have addressed the issue. Madam Clerk, are you clear on that? That's my understanding. You're not allowed to address it and then move
Mayor
to...
Mayor Redekop, I don't know that that's true. Simply for the fact that a lot of times we sit around this horseshoe and a councilor would say, well, my thoughts are that I would like to postpone this or table this, but I'd like to hear from my colleagues first, right?
Right.
And then everybody speaks on the matter and then
but the person that's moved, doesn't speak on the matter. They get to hear what the other councilors have to say. In any event, we're being told by our staff that putting this over to next Monday is going to be difficult for them to respond to, because this is not just a repeat of the resolution that we passed earlier. This is a request for an exemption, because one document that I have looked at that came in tonight is the letter that they've requested an exemption. They're asking for an exemption from rules and regulations of the IESO, and we don't know what that is. We don't know what it is.
Well, that
exactly
would come to us next week.
If staff,
I think that there is basically what we're looking for. We have the same report that's in front of us now, and then the additional information,
okay,
and we can find out what it is that they're not that they don't comply with.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to vote on whether we receive and file this. And then, if that's what we do, then it can be brought up under new business. Councillor Butler has indicated what she wants to do, because that would be an operative resolution with respect to presumably directing it to staff. And then we can talk about, for another hour, whether the staff can do it or can't do it, and exactly what it is that the proponent wants. And we'll still be in the same context, because while we're talking, I've only read one of six attachments. And so I will know no more 5 minutes from now than I did then, and I think that this is a request that's far more encompassing than the simple request of the previous solar power network. It's a completely different issue from what I can see. So does anybody else want to talk about whether we receive and file this, knowing that it's going to come up under new business? Okay. All those in favor of receiving and filing? None opposed, that is carried. That was easy. Councillor Lubberts, you still have the resolutions for the consent agenda items, and the remaining item is 9.3B. Would you move? It's the wayfinding, 9.3B. It's a wayfinding report, 9.3B. Councillor Lubberts?
Thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott. The council approves the consent agenda item 9.3B.
And Councillor Butler, you wanted to speak to this?
Yes. I would like to put a motion in place.
Yes.
To an amendment by adding the following. And change the proposed street name from Brady Drive to Plato Drive in the Spears High Point subdivision.
Okay. Do you wish to comment on that? You don't have to. I'm just asking. That's pursuant to a request by Mr. Plato. Okay. Does any other councillor wish to speak to that? Councillor Passero?
Our apologies to Mr. Brady. We'll get you next time around.
Yeah.
It was Councillor Brady, a former Councillor Brady.
Yeah. And you've had discussion, I understand, Mr. Brady, with the developer, and he's supportive of this?
Yes, sir, and I provided an email to that effect to all members of council.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, that Council accepts the resignation of Mike Daigle from the Bridgeburg Station Downtown Business Improvement Area Board of Management, and further, that Council directs staff to proceed with filling the vacancy in accordance with the provisions of the procedural bylaw.
Thank you very much, Councillor McDermott. And Madam Acting Clerk, just confirm for me, we do acknowledge the individuals that have served. We send them a letter expressing our appreciation, correct?
Yes, I believe the clerk's office does that.
Okay. Does anyone wish to speak to this item? Councillor McDermott?
Yes, I'd personally like to thank Michael for all of his work on the BBIA. He came to us when we lost our treasurer early in the year, and he did a marvelous job, and So I understand his business and illness has kind of taken him out of the loop, but we're certainly appreciative of the BIA, all of his work, and I'm sure that he'll continue to serve us in one way, shape, or form in the years to come.
Thank you very much, Councillor McDermott. I think you express sentiments that all of us feel. I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. Councillor Passero, you have the next resolution.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that Council accepts the resignation of Dave Renshaw from the Museum and Cultural Heritage Advisory Committee, and further, that Council directs staff to proceed with filling the vacancy in accordance with the provisions of the procedural bylaw.
And again, Mr. Renshaw has served on the Museum and Cultural Services Advisory Committee, Heritage Advisory Committee, for a number of years, and unfortunate that he'll be moving on, but I'm sure that he will continue to be active in the community. Any other comments or questions? All those in favor of the resolution? None opposed? That is carried. Mr. Passero, you actually have the next resolution as well.
Yes, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Knutt, that Council accepts the resignation of Sue Williams from the Senior Citizens Advisory Committee, and further that Council directs staff to proceed with filling the vacancy in accordance with the provisions of the procedural bylaw.
Thank you. And again, same recognition and appreciation of her service. Any questions or comments? Councillor Passero.
In addition to that, Mayor Redekop, the Senior Citizens Advisory Committee, I noticed that the next resolution is in a similar vein, so I'll kind of make two comments and we can go through that one as well. But to Sue Williams on this one and Ellen Bird coming up, these individuals donate a lot of time in order to facilitate events on behalf of the senior citizens in our community to get them out, get them active, and get them social. And they do a fantastic job. And every one of these individuals that we're announcing resignations of tonight will definitely be hard to replace, and we thank them.
Thank you. If there are no other questions or comments, all those in favor of the resolution? Opposed? That is carried. Councillor Lubert, you have the next, Councillor Passero, you have the next resolution as well with respect to Ellen Bird.
Yes. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Knutt, that Council accepts the resignation of Ellen Bird from the Senior Citizens Advisory Committee, and further that Council directs staff to proceed with filling the vacancy in accordance with the provisions of the procedural bylaw.
Further questions or comments? All those in favor? That is carried. That then takes us to the resolution with respect to the Planning Act. Councillor Lubert, you have that. Resolution number 6.
Yes, moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott, that Council hereby determines that in accordance with Section 34, Subsection 17 of the Planning Act, further notice is not required to rezone the lots on the south side of Birdie Street east of Sunset Drive for environmental protection EP zone and rural RU zone with an environmental conservation overlay to a rural RU zone.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor Butler, I'll go to you for new business.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to discuss more about the solar power company and find a way that we can ask our planning department to do a report on a short-term basis this week, and following Councillor Knutt's recommendation to reach out to the municipality of Welland to find out how their farms are doing. Also, because we don't have the expertise in-house, there is absolutely no reason, as a business person, I do it all the time, I reach out to people that have more expertise than myself to find out more information and to do the research and to come up with solutions for business at hand, and to reach out to those experts to find out the information and delegate someone that can spend the time this week to do that, to prepare that report and to have it ready for us on Monday before, and give it to us prior to the weekend so that we can maybe at the end of Friday, so that we have the weekend to take a look at it and to give a more well-rounded look at this situation. So I guess what I'm asking is that I'd like a report, and I'm hoping that my fellow councillors will support that. Business is not easy. You're always meeting deadlines, and I don't know when this deadline came up to this company, but I do know that the government moves fast at times. I put in a bid for a contract that only allowed me 2 weeks' notice to capture that bid, put a proposal together, and submit it. So I feel for the individuals that have to put in a report to governments. So I'd like to put that on the floor.
So what I've got is that you're requesting that your motion is that staff prepare a report for the request by Niagara Solar Power Company Limited for the council meeting of November the 21st. Okay. Any questions or comments? Mr. Brady, comments?
If council directs it, I'm not sure if this will mean we'll have to stop dealing with budget items or development matters, but I do not have the staffing to do this and to do all the other work that's on our agenda.
So if this motion passes, Mr. Brady, you will be setting aside whatever you have to set aside in order to respond to this request.
I will probably be discussing with Jonathan a request to extend my dealing with the operating budget. And I'll probably have to use overtime for my staff to work on this. We'll do it. That's fine if that's the request. However, we don't have this expertise in-house. And it's going to be very difficult. If it concentrates on simply dealing with Niagara Solar Power Company's request, that would be easier as opposed to a more comprehensive report.
I think what you need to focus on, if this passes, and Councillor Butler can tell me if I'm wrong, I think it needs to focus on the request by Niagara Solar Power Company Limited in its various aspects, because there were four original requests. I don't know what they've been refined to. I don't know what the IESO shortcomings are in terms of the regulations in this entity, but I think Council would like to know that. And Council would like to know what your views are with respect to this, because from what I can gather, if we were to grant an exemption, or if an exemption is necessary, we could probably require some type of public process. But that's not what's being asked. What's being asked is that we just give the exemption. So those are the things that I think you need to address, and it's really the essence of the issue that Council needs some advice on, and we need an opportunity ourselves to read the material that's been submitted. So in that context, I would hope that it won't unduly interfere with your other operations, but we'd like to try to deal with this because there is some time sensitivity. We'd like to be able to continue to show that this council, which has been pro-growth and development, would like to entertain this. On the one hand, on the other hand, I'd hate to see a request of this nature defer other things that are on your agenda that have been brought there by other businesses which have been somewhat more sensitive to council's needs for information before making decisions and staff's needs for the ability to give advice to council. So have I said anything, Councillor Butler, that's out of sorts, or does that kind of capture the essence of what you're driving for?
Well, I believe you captured everything. I want to make a statement, though, that that staff is always working on reports. I think a good week in advance before we get it. We always get the reports on our CWs by Wednesdays, sometimes Thursdays, but for the majority, Wednesday. To have someone dedicated to research and to write up a report so that we understand more, I get everybody's busy. I'm busy too. But I still get my work done, and I can't understand why one person can't be dedicated without the fanfare of overtime, and it's going to put me behind schedule, because you know what? We're all behind schedule, but we have to do what we have to do in order to get things pushed ahead. So, yes.
Any other questions or comments? Councillor Passero.
Your Worship, I agree with your comments. As long as we can stick to the absolute bare minimum nuts and bolts for the information that we need based on Mr. Brady's overhearing of our conversations tonight, so we can make an informed decision going forward. But that's all that this will be, is information to make an informed decision. I want to preface that by telling the proponents that this is not fast-tracking the approval for the project. This is giving us the opportunity to debate it in a matter that we should, hopefully a week from now, and come up with some answers.
I think that's precisely it. So on that basis, call the question. All those in favor of Councillor Butler's resolution that we request staff for a report. None opposed, that is carried. Any other inquiries or items of new business? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Worship. Your Worship, going back to another issue that we dealt with recently of a similar nature, the cell tower issue. We had spoke at council about some things that we could possibly do at the municipal level and take advantage of maybe some of the breaks in the clouds opened up to us by some changes in the regulations to allow for additional municipal consultation. And I'm hoping that, and there is no timeline associated with this, so I just want to put it on staff's docket if it gets the consensus of council, that we look at additional opportunities for consultation by the municipality. I'd like to reach out to the Canadian Federation of Municipalities to see what information that they can provide us. They were the co-writers of the Antenna System Siting Protocol back in 2013, a guideline for municipalities. And Industry Canada also recognizes in this regulation that approvals for construction, i.e. building permits, are sometimes used by land use authorities, not as evidence that the consultation process has been completed, but just as a part of the process. I'd be very curious to get staff's opinion as to whether or not we could attach a building permit as part of this process to allow us better notification for residents. At the end of the day, I'm hoping that there is some way that we can avoid a situation where over 3 years goes by between the end of a public consultation period, regardless of what level of government claims jurisdiction, and construction of anything. And if there's any opportunity that we can attach a different layer to the system or a different mechanism that they have to apply for, something that keeps the municipality in the loop so that we can further update surrounding residents and the rest of the town, I'd be very curious to see staff's opinion as to revisiting this issue and looking to exploit some of the new opportunities in the updated regulation.
I think that there was a resolution that emanated from the meeting that we had, two, 3 weeks ago, and I believe that it was directed at trying to find ways that there would be greater consultation with the public, maybe more emphasis put on the ability of the municipality to deal with these things. Ms. Schofield, do you have any recollection of...
I believe there was, but I think Mr. Brady could respond to that.
Mr. Brady?
I'm not sure, to be quite blunt. There was a number of resolutions that were made by council at that point. Some of them seemed to deal with the need for having telecommunications towers built within a three-year window, which is, I believe, is what the resolution finally referred to. I don't believe the actual resolution actually referred to any further public consultation in the end. I think it simply asked for the standards that are now available to be retroactively applied to existing structures and existing approvals, and clearly the federal government does not want to do that.
Well, okay, Councillor Pissarro, I hear what you're saying, and I think that particularly the issue about the building permits, that there be some municipal involvement in that, that would be helpful, and we maybe need to follow that up. So I don't recall specifically what the wording of the resolutions were. Councillor Butler had put forward a resolution. I know that Councillor Pissarro, you had assisted her with that.
If I could, Your Worship.
Please.
That was specifically to the situation we were facing at the time for that specific tower. There was a lot of comments on behalf of, I think, the majority of council as well as residents who spoke about the need for further consultation, but that was not contained in the dialogue of the resolution. So this is a more formal request requesting a report of staff and requiring council consensus to do that.
All right. So you're asking for a report?
Yes.
And in terms of the 3 years, that's now regulatory so that there won't be any towers built. But I think what would be of interest to us is if there are any other towers that staff is aware of for which there was public consultation more than 3 years ago and the tower hasn't gone up. There may be no more in Fort Erie, but there may be something else that's sitting out there, because it is terribly unfair to a person who buys a piece of property, builds a brand new house, and then finds out, oh, there was a tower approved here 3-4 years ago. So the request is for a report from staff relative to telecommunications towers, further municipal consultation, and mechanisms of some control, if possible.
If possible, and also further notification opportunities for residents as a part of that process. Throughout the process. That's a very important part. It's not just at the beginning and not when people see the tower going up, but what can we do to latch on throughout the process?
Everybody clear on that? Okay. So if everyone's clear on the motion, all those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. And Mr. Brady, that's not as time sensitive as the last one, but obviously it's a matter of ongoing concern. Any other items of new business? If not, there are no motions. Are there any notices of motion? Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to give notice of motion, whereas the Town of Fort Erie at its regular meeting of Council on November 4th, 2016, passed a motion where drainage works are not scheduled within 5 years of date of adoption of the engineer's report by Council. The municipality shall pay for the engineer's report out of the general funds of the municipality. Now, therefore, it be resolved that the municipality shall pay for the entire cost of the Black Creek drainage report as adopted by Council on May 24th, 2016, as it meets this criteria, including the option for refunding any landowners that have already paid any charges. The bylaw references 67-2015.
And you're gonna, that's notice of motion for when? Next regular council meeting?
The next regular council meeting, yes.
Okay. Any other notices of motion? Then that takes us to consideration of bylaws. So I have a conflict with respect to bylaw 121, which will come out of the package and be dealt with separately. So, Councillor Butler, could you proceed with first and second? Is there anyone else, any other bylaws anyone wishes removed from the package? No? Okay, Councillor Butler, would you proceed with the amended package then, please?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that a bylaw package containing 122-2016 to deem a certain registered plan of subdivision not to be a registered plan of subdivision, Patricia Perdue, 197 Elmwood Avenue, 123-2016 to amend zoning bylaw number 129-90, being the comprehensive zoning bylaw for all lands within the Town of Fort Erie Housekeeping, 124-2016, to enact an amendment of the official plan adopted by bylaw number 150-06 for the Town of Fort Erie Planning Area, amendment number 31, Royal Ridge Subdivision, Town of Fort Erie, 125-2016 to amend zoning bylaw number 129-90, Royal Ridge Subdivision, Royal Oak Property Developments Limited, Brent King owner, is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? Opposed, that is carried. That bylaw package as amended is on the floor for questions or comments. If there are none, then Councillor Nutt, would you proceed with third and final reading of the amended package, please?
Certainly. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that bylaws 122-2016, 123-2016, 124-2016, and 125-2016 are given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. Councillor Passero, could I hand the chair over to you then for bylaw 121? Councillor Butler has first and second reading.
Yes, Your Worship. Councillor Butler, bylaw 121-2016.
Thank you, Chair Passero. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that the bylaw package containing 121-2016 to accept and declare lands as public highway on the south side of Ridge Road North Parazatter, excuse me, I apologize, is given first and second reading.
That's on the floor. All in favor? That's carried. Councillor Nutt, third and final reading for 21-2016.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that bylaw 121-2016 are given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Comments or questions from members of council before that goes through? Seeing none, all in favor? That carries. I'll turn the chair back to His Worship.
Thank you, Councillor Passero. Councillor Butler, you have the next resolution.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that bylaw number 126-2016 to confirm the actions of Council at its meeting held on November 14th, 2016 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. Councillor McDermott, you have the next resolution.
Yes, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, that bylaw number 126-2016 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That takes us to scheduling of meetings, and we all know that Wednesday, November the 16th is the first budget committee meeting, capital budget and forecast, and we all have that great big binder that we get to read in our spare time. Are there any other meetings that are scheduled? Council McDermott.
Tomorrow night, November 15th, we have the Fort Erie Library Board meeting.
Is that at 6 o'clock or 5:30?
5:30.
Thank you. Any other meetings? Councilor Passero.
Fort Erie Active Transportation Committee is meeting tomorrow at 5 p.m. here at Town Hall, Committee Room Number 1.
Any other meetings? Then, am I correct in assuming that Councilor Nutt has the final resolution? How did that happen?
You're correct, Your Worship.
Please proceed.
Luck of the draw. Moved by myself, seconded by Councilor McDermott. The Council adjourns at 8:13 p.m. to reconvene into a regular meeting of Council on November 28, 2016.
Thank you. All those in favor? That is carried. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.